Mary Jo White has gone. The 5-foot-high, and as they say in New York, feisty, chairman of the leading financial markets regulator, the Securities and Exchange Commission, has, as all senior American civil servants do on the arrival of a new president, stepped down. She was appointed by President Obama. She steps aside on the arrival of President Trump. From the point of view of the accountancy world, she is not as big a success as had been hoped. She was, as they might put it, entangled with a great tide of post-financial crash regulation. The world of Dodd-Frank overwhelmed the SEC. This was a shame. The room to build the political space to bring the US into the fold on international financial reporting standards was never there. So we still have the bizarre situation where the US is the only significant country around the globe not to embrace such standards, despite the SEC's advocacy of such a move. Her last public statement while in office reiterated her support for the idea, and it suggested that the US was being myopic on the subject. But it is not this two steps forward, one step back routine that I really want to talk about. What I really enjoyed about Mary Jo White was her consistent and sometimes thunderous advocacy for the case for having more and more women in business and in law and in regulatory bodies, indeed everywhere they can make a difference. Time and time again in her speeches she'd point out the transformation that such changes brought about. Proactivity was, she said, important. One very transformative example demonstrated just how much proactivity could accomplish, she said in a speech in 2015. It occurred when I was a young prosecutor in the Manhattan U.S. Attorney's Office in the late 1970s. Robert B. Fisk, the U.S. attorney who hired me, made a conscious decision to fill half the openings of the Southern District's Criminal Division with high-quality women, which was not, Bob said, at all hard to do. It seldom is the lack of highly qualified women that creates the barrier to greater equality. It changed the face of federal prosecutors in New York and made a huge difference in the professional success and future stage stature of women in the legal profession. In the 1990s, she was appointed by President Clinton to be the first woman to serve as U.S. Attorney of the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, the oldest and most powerful such office in the country. She loved it, but it was not easy. The New York Times said she stood out like a pair of jeans in a closet full of pinstripes. So she lived up to it. In those days, she recalled in another speech in 2015, not too many U.S. attorneys stood 5 feet tall and rode a motorcycle. In those days, not too many U.S. attorneys were called upon to prosecute international terrorists either. In 1993, she became part of the advisory committee of attorneys who advised the Attorney General on policy matters. For the first time in her career, she recalled, women outnumbered men. The different reality dawned on me slowly, she said. There was a significant difference in the dynamic of the meetings. The women were the ones who spoke freely and forcefully advocated their ideas, she said, while the men seemed more reticent about expressing their views. Because women are still usually outnumbered in many professional settings, we sometimes forget that numbers do matter a lot to both our professional success and job satisfaction. And she hammered the message home at all times. Speaking at the Women in Policing Conference in New York, she recalled that ages ago she'd been challenged by an old friend, a retired sergeant in a New York police department, and then a criminal investigator in the U.S. Attorney's Office, to a tennis match. He thought he could beat me. Only a woman, after all, despite my years of experience on the tennis court, she said. On the day of the one set, winner-takes-all match, he was, she said, fashionably late. So she decided that she had to make a statement with her entrance. I rode onto the court on my red Honda motorcycle, the smallest one made, with the speakers blaring the song, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar, sung by the Australian rock singer Helen Reddy. She duly won the match 6-1. And as she told the mass ranks of New York's female finest, he should have known better. It's always a mistake to underestimate women, she concluded, but it is something that will continue to happen, and we will need to prove ourselves more times than we should. But we will. Ah, the joys of being feisty and of being a New Yorker.